How many of you still remember right after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, all of the climate experts warning us hurricanes would get worse and worse year after year? It was going to be nothing but just total apocalyptic destruction on the East Coast of the United States.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Bierman.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Today, I've got a number of stories that I've been collecting over the past several days that I want to share with you. And they may all seem to be unrelated, but in their own strange way, there is a thread that runs through them all. And I'll try to explain what it all means. And what I don't get done today will get done later this week. Also on today's program, I want to take a few minutes at the beginning of the program to share a couple of things on a personal nature that I think will mean something to you as well. But I want to start first talking about this climate change stuff. And I'm just getting to a point that they go beyond all reason in so much of what people are asking and demanding us to believe about climate change. And how many lies have we endured? How many fake predictions that never come true have they tried to, put fear into you that if we don't do something now, the world's going to be over in 5, 10, 30, 40, 50 years. They've made prediction after prediction after prediction. Things that should have happened by now or long ago. And what do they have in common? They never come true. It's all a bunch of hype. Yet they are hoping that you forget the last lie they told you and believe the new one. I can remember back in 2004, living in Florida. And we had an unusual hurricane season that year in 2004. It looked very reminiscent of a hurricane season that had occurred in 1954. Same kind of crisscross pattern, same kind of hurricane developing in the Gulf, this one Charley, and it followed the same path as other hurricanes like Hurricane Hazel and Hurricane Donna and others over the years have followed. But they don't happen every year. I can remember as a young child living in Long Island, we had 2 years back-to-back that had hurricanes coming into Long Island. Now, these were not very powerful storms by the time they hit Long Island, but they could cause some destruction. And I don't recall any for decades after. The same was true in 2004 and 2005. It was a year and a half, 2 years roughly, where you had a peak period of storms where everything, the water currents, the weather patterns, all just came together to create this, quote, perfect storm. And it did. And then all the dire prediction of all the climate change alarmists, or back then they were still bold enough to call it global warming, even though it wasn't really warming. How many hurricanes were we supposed to get in 2006 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 that would just batter poor Florida and knock it off the United States, flood it out? Places like Savannah, Charleston, they were going to be in the path. Maybe even destroy Jacksonville. It didn't happen. Everything went quiet for over 10 years. All the predictions of massive destructive hurricanes, it just didn't happen. This year's been a little bit active. I'm looking at some of the charts right now. And some of the storms I'm going to mention now may already be gone, and another one or two forming. Franklin and Gert and Emily are out there in the Atlantic Ocean. There's one that will probably be named, if it isn't already, by the time you're hearing this broadcast, in the Gulf of Mexico, drifting toward the Mexican-Texas border at the Gulf of Mexico, and another one forming off the coast of Africa, not far from the equator. Very typical weather patterns for this year. Now, what's going to happen to these storms? Franklin is going to head north and miss the United States. Gert is going to self-destruct by the time it's even getting to the northern outer, you know, Caribbean islands, the barrier islands. Emily is already self-destructing. But it looks really good on the headlines. If you watch some of these hypey weather channels and weather people just breathlessly talking about destruction and this and that and the other, and it's all because of climate change. What a bunch of horse manure. Climate change, come on. Long before the term climate change ever came around and the Industrial Revolution ever was even thought of, or the internal combustion gasoline engine, we've seen storms like this occurring for hundreds of years. There's nothing new about any of this except the hype and using this for control. We are not creating climate change that's fueling hurricanes. Let's get that straight. We are not fueling hurricanes. Some people would like you to believe that, but we're not. The Earth has been much hotter than it is today. It has seen more destructive storms than it is today, long before we ever even considered the tiny impact of man. Something else that also gets ignored. Not long ago, there was a volcano erupting in the oceans. Nobody paid much attention to it, but let's be honest. It is like putting a big pot of water on a small gas stove, and all that intense heat in one small spot is eventually heating up all that water. We have, right now, that kind of thermal activity occurring in the oceans with volcanoes. And do you think that it has zero impact? It has a greater impact than anything else you can imagine. The Earth is 71% water, 29% land. And those oceans are collecting heat from the sun, not from man-made climate change nonsense. CO2 is not really worth anything in terms of a greenhouse gas. That's another falsehood that is being perpetuated in our public school system to little children that don't know any better, who have learned to believe what their teachers tell them. When people are asked, when they're asked a simple question, so what percentage of our atmosphere is CO2? And they'll say, maybe 7%, 9%, 10% in some cases, 5%. The numbers are always something like 5 to 10% if you ask somebody that really has no knowledge of what is contained in the atmosphere. And the truth is, CO2, as it stands now, represents 0.03%. Let me say that again. CO2 represents between 0.03%. Another way to put that is 3 in 10,000. Kind of tiny. And if that number ever falls below 3%, many of our crops and plant life will be severely impacted. Many plants will die, and you would have famine. We are sitting close to the line of famine, and they want us to reduce these greenhouse gases that feed our plant life, who in turn returns to us oxygen for us to breathe. We take out all these forests for all kinds of things, and then we wonder why we're having issues. That's the kind of destruction you got to be careful about. When you thoroughly upset an ecosystem, yeah. But this man-made climate change and greenhouse gas nonsense was just a scam to make millions upon millions, if not billions of dollars, for people like Al Gore and others. What has Al Gore done since he left the vice presidency of the United States in January of 2001? He's been running around the world on the climate scam and selling carbon credits. I mean, he kind of reminds me of the guy selling snake oil at a car, you know, back off the back of a horse and wagon in the 1800s. Cures everything, including lumbago. Selling phony credits to big companies, and he makes hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a scam. He's been scamming the American people all these years. So as you watch the hype, and I'm sure we're going to have more activity in the Atlantic, it's that time of the year. I've lived many years in Florida. I'm kind of familiar with the pattern. You get a little bit of a sneak preview in June, July, and then middle August to the end of September, it fires up. As the sun is moving south toward the equator, the seas are at their natural warmest time, and depending upon the weather patterns, these storms form. And what often happens is many of them are pushed to the north, harmlessly to nowhere. Like Emily, Gert, and Franklin will do. I'm sure there's going to be a tropical storm of some kind hitting Texas or Mexico. But will it be a massive hurricane? As I produce this radio program in advance, probably not. But leave it to those in the news business at CNN, MSNBC, even the Weather Channel or Weather Nation, all of them. They're looking for these headlines. They love gloom, doom, and fear.
Gloom, despair, and agony on the earth. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery.
I want you to think for just a moment about the news that you watch each and every day. And the teasing headlines of fear and gloom and doom and destruction and everything. The next pandemic wave is coming. Be prepared. Get vaccinated today. Destructive storms are coming because of your SUV, man-made climate change, your gas stove, the fact you eat hamburgers. Oh, you're destroying the planet. There's a thread. I've said this before. There is a thread that runs through all of this. They want to keep you so, and what I mean by they, they're those that literally pull the strings of government for their own desires, for their own wealth, their own power. And they don't want a powerful populace that is looking over their shoulders and asking for accountability for the things that they do in, let's say, influencing the government. Whether it be big tech, whether it be big pharma, big investment, they don't want you really looking that close at any of what they're really doing. They want you to be worried about climate change. They want you worried about the next pandemic. They want you worried about white supremacy. They want you worried about Christian nationalism or anything else that they can dream up in their little rooms out of their little perverted minds to keep locking you down to control you. And of course, they want to disarm you as well. Even George Washington understood that concept at the founding of this nation. Why do you think citizens are to be armed so they don't have to fear their government when the government is abusing the people, which is what our government today in Washington is doing? It is abusing and using you. This is not the government our founding fathers intended. This is a bunch of moral reprobates that believe in things like transgenderism, body mutilation, destroy anything of decency and character, and enslave the people in taxes. If you don't believe that, then I can't help you. If you haven't figured that out yet. And so if it's not climate change destroying the planet with hurricanes, or climate change, global warming giving us blizzards, which makes no sense. I can remember it was like about 15 years ago, maybe longer. They had to cancel a global warming summit because of blizzards. And Al Gore couldn't even get his private jet there. This is the kind of, and yet the news media keeps pushing all this. They're wanting us to have this net zero climate change nonsense. Not even really understanding the complexities of a living planet like this world. We think we know it all, but I think we know a lot less than we think we do. And if that fear doesn't work, when that seems to calm down, then we fire up things like
COVID-19.
If you hadn't noticed, it's coming back. Now, I've got a few things to share on that, but I want to just quickly finish up with climate change. There's a story that I found rather fascinating. Is climate change going to be the next excuse for not returning to the workplace? I kid you not. People got used to the idea of doing their work at home in their pajamas in front of a laptop. I mean, this is the world in which we live. And you got these climate alarmists out there trying to get us to eat bugs and get rid of cows. But this also may be a way to keep workers from returning to the office. And now the whole idea is, you know, maybe we need to get rid of the idea of work, at least the way we know it. I mean, going to work could make the climate crisis that we're in, where the world is catching on fire, making it worse. Business Insider, a publication, interviewed a woman a while back named Rachel, who told the outlet the job she voluntarily took is forcing her to appear in the office 1 or 2 days a week, and I can't deal with this. I have to commute for a half hour. I like it at home. Let me tell you something. I was blessed years ago, before it was fashionable, to be able to work from my home part-time. And I only worked from home because I happened to own powerful enough computers and editing software for video that were mine. And in my job, I did some video editing. So whenever I needed to do certain video or audio work, it was not a good environment to do that at my regular office. So I would work from my home office, where I had peace and quiet and the ability to produce a video. And some of these videos could take, you know, 30 and 40 hours to edit and assemble, even though they're not that long, because it's so intricate. At least back then it was. And so it made sense. But I never thought I would work from home forever. I might go work from home for 1, 2, maybe 3 days a week, and maybe only do that once or twice a month. Otherwise, I was in the office because, you know, I did learn something else. That oftentimes in-person meetings, which are vastly superior than trying to do things on Zoom, Zoom is okay, but it's not a replacement for being in front of other people to discuss and work out issues and problems. But now we want to get rid of this face-to-face collaboration because either we can do it based upon climate change, or we can base it upon COVID-19. Take your choice. Whichever one works. I'm going to tell you something. I have been in a bunch of Zoom meetings over the past several years. And it takes forever to get everything working. And then this guy's video, it's just a joke. I'm sorry. Zoom is a terrible platform. I think it stinks. And I learned years ago that sometimes what takes 2 hours on Zoom could be cleared up in 5 or 10 minutes in person. So it's a waste of productive time and energy and boringness and technical glitches, which inevitably happen when using that silly platform to pretend you're in a meeting. Now, I know there are times you have no choice, and there are times you have to work with that. I learned that in emergency management. We had ways of teleconferencing because you may not be able to get to the full disaster site, everybody there. You do the best that you can. But COVID changed everything. It started, you know, stay at home, you know, quarantine. I remember I got so sick of anybody putting that on their Facebook page. Quarantine, we can do this together. And now let's get vaccinated together. We'll solve it. No, we didn't. We made it worse. So between climate change and global warming, you have two weapons in the arsenal to control the way people act and live. Say what you want, but there's something about what I am seeing that I find disturbing. There's a Department of Justice back in 1996 said that terrorist acts have included, this is 1996, and these are from eco-terrorist types that, you know, worship the planet. Terrorist acts have included spiking of trees to present hazard to loggers who would cut down trees, dismantling of an electrical transmission tower, the sinking of ships involved in whaling and drift net fishing. Eco-terrorists have issued death threats against targeted individuals and even attempted to murder people deemed threats to their cause. That's 1996. We've seen in recent years the eco-terrorist destroying and defacing priceless works of art, gluing themselves to anything that they could stick their bottoms to. It isn't beyond these nutcases. When they've been scared to death about climate change and imminent death, the world, you know, catching on fire, to do whatever they need to do, you know, the ends justify the means, to get us to change the way you and I live. I mean, I'm waiting for them to come take my gas stove. Environmental experts and federal agencies are saying that it's all because of climate change. But some people are beginning to think that maybe there's something more because of the timing. Maui, Canada, got to run the hype up while you can during this time of the year before the rains come back. Liberals, or leftists really, have been exploiting crises their entire career. Rahm Emanuel, during the Clinton years, said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." That was his quote. And remember, there is plenty of eco-terrorists. We have Antifa. Most of them are just basically white liberals looking for a cause to act out. on and on it goes. This whole, there's something about these fires that I find disturbing. Now, I know a lot of folk talk about, you know, controlled energy, weapons, and what have you. You know, all it takes is just a dry season and a Bic lighter in the right places, and you can accomplish the same thing. A little side story here. I went to work for a radio station many, many years ago that was in a really decrepit facility. The building was falling in on itself, termite ridden, just awful. It was the worst thing I'd ever seen. And their director of engineering and corporate management came to town. This is about the time that I came in to help try to figure how to repair this mess. A large company had bought this group of stations. And I remember the one guy said, you know, we could fix all of this the way the Forest Service fixes some forest fires. Start one fire at the one end of the building and one at the other. When the two fires meet, problem is solved. That was kind of a joke, and it was probably about right for that place. We did just end up having to plow the building in and move. It was that bad. Beautiful piece of real estate. Building was just not repairable. And that can happen from neglect. But I have a really strange feeling about these fires. I really do. There's something about all of this that is not making sense to me. And it shouldn't to you. I know some people are saying it's a direct energy weapon from the sky and 5G and all kinds of other stuff. I'm not buying any of that. It doesn't take anything that complicated. I've seen some of the videos that you're trying to convince me it is, and I'm not seeing it. Sorry, there's some things I don't buy. I don't jump on every bandwagon that's out there. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the most logical explanation, and permitting eco-terrorists who really believe in global warming to do their thing unabated, unarrested, unstopped makes a lot of sense. Climate change is the excuse for inaction. It's an excuse for laziness. It's an excuse for privilege. It's an excuse for everything. We learned that during COVID, when people could just stay home. And how many people left the workforce back then that never will return because they've learned to live on welfare, essentially, and food stamps, and whatever else they can get? Why work? I don't feel like it anymore. I'm getting to like watching TV at home. We are in a really bad place in this world. And so as I look at climate change, I look at the lockdowns that could very well be coming. Got a couple of things that I want to share, and I'm not going to be able to get to them on this side of the break, but I've got a bunch of material on the other side. Now, like I said, you may disagree with some of what I'm saying, and that's okay. I'm just saying that I am not convinced of some of the videos that I'm looking at, that it's all done by some super secret weapon or 5G and all. It doesn't make any sense. And most people that tell me about 5G have never been inside of a cell phone site. I have. And so I can tell you firsthand what's in there. And so I have a hard time buying some of the stuff I'm being told that doesn't make any sense. All you need is a little, you know, you ever seen like a little butane torch? A little accelerant and a butane torch, you could start. You get a couple hundred guys, form a circle around a town at the edge and start everything on fire. It'll work its way in and create a whirlwind and make a super inferno as it heads toward a town. Not that hard to do. I really believe, and I'm going to come out and say it, I really believe that arson is the cause of these fires. Will that ever come out? I know in Canada, when they keep finding arsonists, the news seems to ignore it, though they are there. And so time will tell. Now, before we go to the break, and like I say, on the other side, I've got a couple of other stories I want to share with you that you really need to hear. I mean, we're going to pick up on the next lockdowns from COVID. Yeah, they may be coming. Well, I'll put it this way. They're going to try to make them happen just in time for the fall fear season to mess up your Thanksgiving and Christmas and then screw up the election of 2024. They're going to try. We'll talk about what their success probabilities are in a few minutes. But I want to take this moment to share a couple of personal things very quickly. This past weekend, I had the privilege of being in South Carolina to do a wedding for a dear friend. My wife and I traveled on Friday from our home in Virginia, about 5 hours down to South Carolina, spent the night, did the wedding, came back, and then had church on Sunday. So for me, that was an honor. And my wife had heard me talk about people that I'd worked for years back in emergency management and finally had a chance to put some faces to some names and people and, you know, got to learn more about some of what I've done in the past. But also, I ran into something yesterday that I did not know. And it's one of those things that it's both joyful and sad. There was a time back in the 1980s. I'd been working for a manufacturer of broadcast equipment. I was kind of burnt out and needed a break. And I went to work for what I thought would be about a year, year and a half leave of absence to go to work for Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Now, my late wife's hometown was Toccoa. And so I knew the area. We'd met there before, you know, about a decade or so before. And so it seemed like a nice idea. They had this one little radio station on the campus. And I can remember back in 1975, I'd spent some time with the then president of the college. It was known as Toccoa Falls Institute then, Dr. Ken Opperman. And I suggested to him, wouldn't it be neat if this Bible college could have its own little non-commercial FM radio station to, you know, feed Christian music and programming to the immediate region? Well, that was a pipe dream for them. They could never see how they could do it. 1977, a dam broke above the campus, and 39 people died in the flood that ensued on the campus, and buildings were destroyed. It just mobile homes wiped out. I was there right after helping to search because I knew people because I had worked in media there for quite a while. I had been in news, so I was known. And that destructive flood also opened up a new era at that school. A new president came in 1978. His name was Paul Alford. He was a short little guy, but he was the type A personality to get things done. And he had a couple of board members that saw the vision for radio, which he believed in, and they built that radio station. The number of students increased. New buildings were built. A whole new attitude came to that campus. And it included an attitude of holiness unto the Lord. That school trains missionaries and pastors that go all over the world. For a small school, it has a huge impact. And I went to work for them to upgrade and make some changes to make it more professional at their primary station and some of the ones they wanted to add. And that job just kept growing and growing. And, you know, I was still involved with the college all the way until like 2003. Even though it was part-time after 1998 when I moved to Florida, but I spent basically almost 14 years on the campus, building their facilities, and watching a ministry grow. And Dr. Paul Alford and I could be as different as day and night, but we respected each other, and he had a respect for me. And I dearly love the man. He retired in 2000, and I'm trying to remember the exact year, 2001 or two. For a while was the interim president of Trinity College, and then spent a lot of time in Florida, where he always wanted to go and spend time. And I was hoping to see him not that long ago, you know, a couple of years back, but we just never could work it out. He was in his 90s at that point already. And he and I, but at least he and I spoke many times by telephone. And then we just, all of a sudden, we're not able to connect. Well, he apparently started having some issues with late set, rapid, either Alzheimer's, dementia, I'm not sure which. And the family moved him from Florida up to Georgia, where they lived not far from Toccoa, so they could be near Dr. Alford. And I heard that he passed away last week, end of last week. And during the time that my wife and I were traveling to South Carolina and back up to Virginia, they had held the time of the wake, the get-together, to receive family and friends on that Friday. And the funeral was held on Sunday afternoon. I just found out. And had I known, I would have been there, trust me. And as we get ready to go to this break, I just want to share one thing. He did a radio program, not a very long one, daily 15 minutes on the station. And he had a hymn that he truly loved. And he used it for the opening and close for each and every program.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never.
So to my dear friend, Dr. Paul Alford, I want to thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to serve. I want to thank you for opening the door for me to ministry and the life that I have today. Had it not been for you, Dr. Alford, I wouldn't be doing a radio program like this, and I wouldn't be pastoring a church. So thank you. Thank you for the blessing you have been in my life. The Bible says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those words apply to my dear friend, Dr. Paul Alford. You will be remembered, and you touch many a life in the many years in missionary service that you and your wife had, the work you did at Toccoa Falls College, and the thousands upon thousands of lives you have changed. Changing lives is really part of what this program is all about here at Truth to Ponder. I have a hard time sometimes deciding what's the most important thing I should be doing, and we've shared this before. Am I a newsman or am I a church pastor? Is my job to teach, be an evangelist? And as we come to our third anniversary next Thursday, I'm looking at what the fourth year of Truth to Ponder may bring. This year has been more difficult than I could even begin to imagine. With the economy the way that it is, let's be honest, a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people can't support like they used to be able to support. Those on fixed incomes, like my wife and myself, we are on fixed incomes. And the cost of goods and services are going up, up, and up at a rate faster than my wife and I can keep up with. And so we understand. We are not high-paid people in some high-paid ministry with huge resources. We have been dependent upon you. And as I told you last week, I will never put in a paywall on this program. It'll disappear long before that ever happens. I just don't think that I need to be charging and demanding an income to provide you the information and news that you need in your life. But I will tell you, the giving is way down. And it is concerning. I've never on this program made a big deal about giving, and I really don't want to, and I don't really plan to. I'll just leave it at this. Giving is down. And it does potentially impact some of what this program is able to do. And I will make decisions in about 2 or 3 months from now of what direction the program needs to take. Don't know. But sometimes, even in difficult times, there can be opportunity and guidance from God in the direction this radio program needs to go. I don't want to be the one giving you all the big, scary headlines of, you know, the sky is falling. I'm not a gloom and doom despair kind of guy sharing super secret inside knowledge that half the time ends up being wrong. I try to deal with the stories around us today in a very pragmatic and very simple manner. I don't need complex stuff. I don't need to get into theories that are unproven. As I said earlier, sometimes the simplest answer may not be the quote, cool answer, but it very well may be the answer. As I mentioned, and I'll just say it quickly, I'm very suspect of the fires in Maui and in Canada and elsewhere, and I am not buying the global warming hysteria. I believe that is a flat-out lie. But I'm also not jumping into directed energy weapons from space and everything else that people are saying, because I don't have enough confidence in the sources. And the reason I say that is some of these very sources in the past have been so terribly wrong more than half of the time. And so that's why I don't jump on a lot of bandwagons. But suffice it to say, even the simplest explanation is very plausible. Fires were set, in my opinion, and it didn't take super technology to make it happen. Fires have been set like that for hundreds of years. I believe there is a conspiracy, so to speak, against people of faith and against getting out the truth. That's why we do this radio program, and that's why this radio program is predominantly on shortwave. Glenn Beck discovered last week he got canceled right out from one of his platforms, iTunes. We're on iTunes. We could disappear from there as well. Why do you think I don't want to go to any place to monetize? I don't want to have the cost, and I don't want the notoriety online. I want to do what I do uninhibited. But it takes a certain level of income. Would you consider, please, would you consider the possibility of supporting this radio ministry maybe for the first time? If you would. Would you consider going to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there using Give, Send, Go. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. The mailing address is Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, Virginia, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. When we come back, I've got some stories you cannot afford to miss.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Hermetically sealed. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you'd get in love in a moment. I was a little kid, and it was wintertime. Going outside, my mother would dress me up in a sweater, scarf, one-piece snowsuit, wrapped inside insulation, inside more insulation, and more insulation. It was great. Only one problem. Once you're outside, you felt like you were still inside. You were so insulated that even though you're outside, you were still inside. You were hermetically sealed. There was no sound. There was no wind. Only the sound of your own breathing, as if you were walking on the moon in an astronaut suit. No weather, no air, nothing. Well, as believers, we also tend to have an insulation problem. We insulate ourselves against the world. We insulate our lives so that we're not really going out anymore, not really reaching out. See, the Great Commission is all outside. It has to be beyond the church, beyond the fellowship. The people outside are those who need salvation. That's the only way the kingdom grows. But to do it, you have to go out. Do you know that most people who are brought into a congregation, most new people, are brought by the new people, not by the old people? The old tend to get insulated. So inside Christian relationships, they don't touch the outside anymore. They're so comfortable in church culture. Well, we need to get out. That can't happen by sitting on your couch or only by connecting with other believers. It can only happen when you take away the insulation, you get out, because out is where the lost are. Out is where the kingdom grows. Out is where the Lord commanded us to go. It's where you need to go. If you're going to touch this world, get uninsulated and get out. Want more? Ask for Going Out on CD. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discovered the place the Ark of the Covenant was? Well, a newly revealed discovery just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You'll love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's Daily Spiritual Vitamins guaranteed to revitalize your walk, or a free New Testament. How do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. So to get your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA. One. That's your free gift, 1-800-YESHUA1. Now, the Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join me in bringing it back to them, and you will be blessed. The Lord will bless those who bless the Jewish people and reach the people on every continent, the lost. Just call 1-800-YESHUA1. That's YESHUA1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. It's right to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, zip 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to my friend in Messiah, Yeshua Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Tuesday. Got a few minutes I want to spend on a couple of stories and put things into perspective. Like I say, there are a lot of news stories out there you need to pay attention to that really do impact your life. Climate change is one of them that they're using to control you. The idea of the 15-minute city to save the planet. Lockdowns for climate change. Stay at home for climate change. Don't eat meat. Eat bugs and fake lab meat for climate change. All these things to control how you live and the things you are permitted to do. And government, unfortunately, including here in the United States, there are some really evil and sick individuals that have government jobs. Good old Fraud Fauci was one of them. I may have a chance to share a story later this week about his AIDS fraud stuff and the millions that he spent and the millions that he made. The man is a cockroach. The man is an evil individual. And there's a lot about this, well, coronavirus stuff that still to this day is all based on some really despicable lies and government behaviors and gain of function. And there's a lot of players, and I pray that there is justice and they are found out and they are held accountable. But I'm noticing the news media already beginning to pick up on the story. We got to get everybody vaxxed. We got to get everybody ready for the next big wave. That's right. The next big wave is coming. And we need to all be ready to mask up, stay at home, social distance, cancel your Thanksgiving and Christmas plans again, because just in time for the 2024 election and to wreck your life and the economy and the world, preparing the way for, I think, the new world order of the Antichrist. But I want you to think about something. As they're beginning to hype up this new variant, variants that I believe are created by the vaccine, by the vaccinated people themselves, because this would not be happening in nature. And we're hearing a lot about everybody needs to get the Moderna vaccine. That's the one the government is deeply invested in. You know, Moderna has lost more than 40% of its market value this year because their stuff doesn't work and people are beginning to smell a rat. And you have all these stories about the return of the virus, the next wave. Yet, in August of this year, we are so far below hospital admissions for COVID-19 than the same period last year. And vaccine sales are scraping the bottom of the pharmaceutical oyster bed. I mean, they're down there at the bottom of the sewer plant. People are hesitating, and they're everyone, you know, the government saying, oh, it must be COVID fatigue or dimming enthusiasm for more of the jabs. Just no, people are getting smart. They're getting smart. They're simply not buying the hype. And so I'm listening to all these stories about this new variant that's out there, and I'm just trying to get a better handle on it. The goddess Eris. Now, there's a reason I'm saying the goddess Eris from Greek mythology. You know, paganism was the goddess of strife, discord, and chaos. And I'm not making this stuff up. The name traces back to the Greek word epis, Eris, which translates to strife and discord. Kind of makes sense that the new variant is called Eris 2. Yep, Eris something too. And I'm trying to think, where had I heard that term, Eris 2, before? Like I say, I thought I had heard that term before, Eris 2, or Eris BA 2, whatever. Let me ask a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Once again, the hype is up. Got to get that mask handy again. Stock up on the at-home test. Yeah, they're free, you know. You may need to be wearing a mask in a crowded space. You better get your flu shot, your COVID, your RSV. Need to do all that before the end of October. It's your best chance to stay healthy. I don't believe it. If all that is true, remember the big lie that was told back in 2021 by Rochelle Walensky, that if you took the vaccine, you would not get COVID? I think President Biden echoed that same exact lie. Get the vaccine and you won't get COVID and you can take off your mask because your COVID proof turned out to be, as every real expert had predicted, a total lie. There was not one bit of proof anywhere in any of the research. Remember, it's still trickling out. Recall when all these vaccine companies wanted to hide the data for 76 years. I wonder why. And now they got to get it out in a lot shorter time. And as it dribbles out, we're finding out they knew, they fully knew it would not stop transmission. They fully knew it would not stop you from getting it. They had some evidence, maybe it reduces your symptoms. And they also had evidence it can cause myocarditis in young men, compromised immune systems, and all we're doing is pumping more of this stuff in our veins. For what purpose? And number two, why would anybody want to do a home test anymore? I mean, really. Two things come to mind. The test had a fraudulent cycle threshold. We talked about that. The CT. We know any number above 24 from the guy that invented the test is garbage and bogus, phony, and fraudulent. But no, they were running these tests at 30, 32, 36, and close to 40. Now, what does that really mean? It's like doubling a penny every day for 30 days. Starting the first week, 1 cent, 2 cent, 4 cent, 8 cents, 16 cents, 32 cents. Hey, by the end of the week, you're at 64 cents. By the end of the month, you're at a million when you start getting into the 30s. And then the billions as you get close to 40. What the guy was saying is you're amplifying nonsensical garbage that pretends to be something that it is not. And so most of the testing made everybody look like they had
COVID-19
when the truth was they never had it. And how many people unnecessarily died in hospitals and nursing homes because of the horrific treatment that was being promoted by the CDC? They weren't really treating. I really believe that 800,000 of the so-called 1 million that died were murdered in the hospital. I really believe that because they did not treat. They had a one-size-fits-all protocol, unproven, never had been done before, and legitimate doctors were forbidden to practice medicine because of these protocols. There's a lot of evil that's going to have to be answered for. Vaccine fraud, vaccines that don't work. Here's what we do know, real fast, running out of time. What we do know is that over time, the variants of this coronavirus become more infectious but less symptomatic. And that's the natural pathway for a virus like this. We know that. I believe the vaccines, though, are causing more and stranger mutations from the vaccinated. And there are a lot of others that agree with that that know a lot more than I do. I mean, how transmissible is this going to become? You know, we've had 16 rounds of more transmissible variants since the beginning of the pandemic. And we've also seen the numbers go down in terms of people having to be hospitalized or losing a whole lot of work or anything else. But they keep the hype up to control you. Listen, we're out of time. We'll pick this up later this week. If you believe in the work we're doing here, we really need to hear from you. It's urgent. Income is way down. If you can help, you can support us from the website, truth2ponder.com, or mail a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. We'll pick up on these topics later this week.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.